I want you to open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 15, a couple of verses. John chapter 15. And this is such an important night in the life of our church. Not because of the missionaries that are here, and certainly not because I'm here, but because of what we're doing. Tonight may be the most important night in the life of our church this year. And we're deciding tonight what Lancaster Baptist Church is going to do in the coming year in world evangelization as far as financing that ministry. And I trust that you have been praying much and that you'll be ready to do whatever God lays on your heart. John chapter 15, let me just call your attention a couple of verses. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now, I want you to notice the connection between keeping the commandments of God and having the joy of the Lord. And he says here, if you keep my commandments. And how many of you would agree with me tonight that the Great Commission is a commandment? Okay, that wasn't very good, okay? How many of you would agree with me tonight that the Great Commission is a commandment? Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The repentance and remission of sin should be preached in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the Great Commission. It is not a request. It is not just a good idea. It is not just a suggestion. I'm sure you've noticed that God doesn't make suggestions. Amen? Amen. Right. You've noticed, I'm sure, we do not call them the 10 suggestions, but the 10 what? Amen. Okay. The Great Commission is a commandment. It is a mandate to the church in every generation. The mandate of the church. So, when I read these verses and I think about this, when we obey the command of the Lord, keep the commandment of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, it brings great joy. Because that's what John is saying here, or what Jesus is saying here in the Gospel of John. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So he's saying, when we keep the commandments of God, we will have the joy of the Lord, the kind of joy that he has, and that our joy will be full. In other words, we will be joyful. By the way, just a very casual reading of the Word of God would make us to realize tonight that regardless of what we are doing, God wants us to have the joy of the Lord. Listen to just a few verses. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. For God giveth to man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Acts 13:52. They were having great persecution and so forth. And the Bible says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, faith, and so on and so forth. 1 John 1:4. And these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. John, writing about a man by the name of Gaius, when he heard about his activities, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. 2 Corinthians 8:1, talking about giving to missions. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What a wonderful thing we have in the Word of God, that God wants us at all times to have the joy of the Lord. Now, I could stand here for hours and preach about the absolute necessity of worldwide evangelization. I could stand here and preach for a long time, and we've heard it all week, about the responsibility of every believer in this matter of worldwide evangelization. But if we're not careful, many times, even getting involved in the work of God, we will miss something that God wants us to have. And in the midst of all of that, God wants us to have His joy. And by the way, just a simple obedience to the command of God brings great joy. Now you think about it. When a missionary says, God has called me to go to the mission field. By the way, thank God, as many of our young college students have said this week. I have no idea how many have said to me, Brother Don, God has made it clear to me that God wants me to be a missionary. Thank God for that. Now they're saying, hey, we are going to obey the command of God. We are going where God wants to go, and we're going to preach the gospel. And then when people like members of Lancaster Baptist Church and students at West Coast Baptist College say, we are going to give so the missionaries can go and preach the gospel to the entire world. What are we doing? We are obeying the command of God. And the obedience to the command of God brings great joy. Number one, it brings great joy to the recipients of the gospel. When these we have heard, like going to the Philippines and going to Cambodia and going to the Russia and on and on and on. These missionaries have gone. Somebody gave so they could go. Most missionaries don't have a lot of money. Have you noticed? When I first surrendered to go to Japan, I was looking for an automobile, and I went to an automobile dealership, and the fellow selling automobiles was a backslidden Baptist preacher. I'm not sure why, but most preachers, when they backslide, they either go into automobile business or insurance business, okay? And so he was selling automobiles, and, you know, I began to tell him about our church, invite him to come to church and so forth, and I told him that God had called me to the mission field and that I was going to Japan as a missionary, and I'd have to do some deputation, have to try to raise some money to get there and so forth. And this backslidden Baptist preacher that was selling automobiles looked at me and said, hey, you ought to have faith. If God has called you, just go. Good preaching from him, amen? Backslidden automobile dealer, used to be a preacher. And I said, you know, I have faith, but we've got to ride an airplane over there. And Northwest Orient don't have any faith, amen? They want money, okay? And when I get there, I can't work in Japan. I have to live by what God's people give me. In other words, I could not have gotten out of Cook County, Illinois on my own money in order for me to go to the mission field. Somebody had to give so I could go. And guess what happened? When the missionary surrenders his life and goes, when the church gives and prays, that's obeying the command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when they do, when they go and preach the gospel, guess what? Some people are going to get saved. That is an ironclad guarantee. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Without any shadow of a doubt, he'll come back rejoicing. If you go with a broken heart and the word of God and sow the seed, somebody's going to get saved. Now, there may be some areas where only a few people may get saved, but thank God for that. If one soul gets saved, it's worth all of it. Then there are other places where hundreds and even thousands of people will get saved. But the emphasis is that everybody that goes with a burdened heart and sowing the seed, the word of God, some souls are going to get saved. And guess what? When people get saved, they're going to have the joy of the Lord. It is going to cause great joy. Baptist International Mission started back in 1960. Some of our first missionaries were missionaries in Nicaragua. Dr. Frank Russell and Brother Bob Dayton were early missionaries down in Nicaragua. And they printed a little book about some of the early ministry there. And on the page of one of the pages of the book, there is a picture of a witch doctor. And honestly, I believe it is the ugliest man I've ever seen in all my life. And I've seen a lot of ugly men. Amen. I can look out tonight, okay? I looked in the mirror this morning, all right? I've seen a lot, but honestly, you can imagine the old witch doctor, a horrible expression on his face. And guess what happened? That old witch doctor got saved. And after he got saved, he began to read the Bible, began to pray. First thing you know, the old witch doctor was preaching the gospel. And it has another picture of the witch doctor. Now, he's not handsome, okay? It didn't change him that much, okay? But honestly, the expression on his face is unbelievably different. Amen. I mean, you can see the joy of the Lord in his expression. What happened? Somebody said, I'll go. Somebody said, I'll give. We'll pray. And they did. And Brother Dayton and Brother Rosser went. And the old witch doctor got saved. And it caused great joy. In our early ministry there in Osaka, a junior high school student got saved. I think she's third year in junior high school. And we had a discipleship papers that we would take to the new converts, and Brother Takagi and I would take them, and then the next week we would go back and get their answers and so on and so forth. We didn't get in many doors, but we did many of the houses and so forth, but we'd go to the door and work with the people and so forth. And this young lady, her name was Michiko, and Michiko's dad was a Shinto priest. And he was in the Tendikyo form of Shintoism, and he was a priest. Now, the Tendikyo group and the Shinto group, they hate Americans and they hate Christians. So I had two strikes against me, okay? And then his daughter had gotten saved, and that was a big strike, amen. And I had everything against me. But one day, Brother Takagi and I were standing there at the door with our papers and so forth and talking to Michiko. And when her dad came home, I got right in the middle of the door. He's a little bitty short fella. And by the way, when I first went to Japan, that was one of the greatest things I thought. I got to Japan and people were speaking. I had no idea what they were saying. They're running here and forth. And I was so frustrated and so forth. But I looked around, and I was the tallest man there. And that brought great joy to me. Anyway, Mr. Yamashita, a little bitty short fella. You know, he spoke the worst Japanese anybody I've ever heard in my life. And I got right in the door, and I began to talk to him and so forth. And you could tell he wanted me to get out of the way, but I wasn't going to do it for a while. And two or three times I'd go to the house, and finally I said to him, I said, why don't you and Ms. Yamashita just let me bring a tape recorder over here and just play you one message from a Christian preacher. And he let me do that, the Shinto priest. And so Brother Takagi and I went there one day, and we took our tape recorder. By the way, we didn't have it in our pocket. This was 1966. Tape recorder about the size of this pulpit stand. The big reel right there. And we took that big reel-to-reel tape recorder. And, you know, we've been here. Honda Sensei was preaching on Jesus, the light of the world. And I mean, if you don't preach an hour in Japan, you are backslidden, amen?
Yes.
And so he just preached and preached. And, you know, here sat Mr. and Ms. Yamashita and their daughter Michiko. And Michiko was enjoying it. Ms. Yamashita seemed like she was enjoying it. He tried to act like he was asleep and didn't hear any of it. But I knew he might have his eyes shut, but God doing something in his heart. Amen. About 3 weeks later, they started coming to church.
Amen.
And they'd come for about a month. And then one Sunday morning after I'd preached, this old Shinto priest and his wife came down now and said to me, "Teacher, we'll take your Jesus as our Savior."
Amen.
And he got saved. I tell you what, he became one of the happiest, most victorious, amen, godly Christians I've ever met in all my life.
Amen.
I never saw him after that. In fact, every time I'd go to Sending Newtown Baptist Church, he'd be sitting right down there. He and his wife, every service, never missed a service, came to everything. I mean, got totally involved.
Amen.
Every time I'd see him, he'd tell me about somebody he's trying to win to the Lord, some prayer that God had answered for him, something good God had done for him. One of the happiest people I've ever met in all my life. The joy of the Lord all over his face. He burned his idols to the glory of God. Got rid of all of them. I mean, did everything that a Christian is supposed to do. He died walking to church one morning when he was 96 years old. What happened? Some churches, by the way, not many of them, amen? Back in the days, the dark days of Independent Baptist. Missionaries have it pretty good today compared to those days. And we finally raised about $500 a month support. Some churches said, "We'll give so you can go."
Amen.
And we went and we preached the gospel, and people like that got saved. Now, how do you have the joy of the Lord? How do you bring joy to the earth? You obey the command of God. And God's command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not only does it bring great joy to the recipients of the gospel, but when we obey the Great Commission, now this just overwhelms me, okay? But it causes heaven to rejoice.
Amen.
Look over in the Gospel of Luke for just a minute. Luke chapter 15. I love these first two verses. Look at it. "Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.'" You know what they were trying to do? The scribes, Pharisees, they were trying to find something wrong with Jesus. And they said, "Oh, we've got him this time. I mean, look at him. He eats with and he receives sinners." And every time I read those verses, I just want to shout and say, thank God he does. Amen. If he did not receive sinners, all of us would die and spend eternity in hell. So they thought, "We've got him this time." And then the Lord told them three stories. And I think what he's really saying here is, now you scribes and you Pharisees, you haven't been right many times, but this time you are right. I do eat with and I do receive sinners. And he told them the story about a man that had 100 sheep. And he began to count them one night. And when he began to count them, he realized there were only 99. Look at it. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? You imagine the shepherd, the good shepherd. You say, well, sheep are dumb. They wander off. We got 99 left. Let the one dumb sheep go. Not the good shepherd. Amen. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness. By the way, if we're not too careful, we'll spend all the time babysitting Christians when we ought to be winning people to the Lord. Once we get saved, we ought not have to be babysat. Amen. We ought to get involved in serving God. He left the 99 in the wilderness and went out to look for that one lost sheep. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying with them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now listen to what Jesus said. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now you think about this. When we obey the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and by the way, that doesn't begin in Japan or Korea or somewhere, it begins right here in the Antelope Valley. But when we go, wherever we go, and preach the gospel and somebody gets saved, that causes heaven to rejoice. Now, somebody will win the World Series in a few days, okay? And if your team does, you'll probably jump up and down and rejoice. But guess what? I don't think that'll excite heaven one bit. Somebody throw a pigskin 50 yards and somebody else catch it and 22 men fall on him. And you know, I doubt that heaven gets excited at all. But anywhere in the world, doesn't matter if the color of their skin is black or brown or yellow or white. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if they're old or young. Anytime, anywhere in the world, somebody hears the gospel and gets saved, heaven rejoices. Amen. Dr. John R. Rice used to say, they shoot off the Roman candles and firecrackers and have a big time in heaven. Amen. I'm not sure about that, but they rejoice. Amen. Rejoicing. Think about it. When you fill out your card tonight, I've got mine filled out. I knew what I was going to preach, so I've already got convicted, okay? I've got my card filled out to the Lord through my church. That means, Brother Chapel, everything God does at Lancaster Baptist Church, I have a part in that. Every soul that gets saved, every door that gets knocked on, every young person gets rescued, every home that gets brought back to God and right with one another, everything that happens at Lancaster Baptist Church, thank God I'm getting in on that. Now, let me stop for just a minute. If we're not careful, when we think about giving, we'll think, well, good night. Is that all they're concerned about is giving? You know, why does God have so much stuff about giving and giving and giving and so forth? Now, I'm going to shock you for just a minute, okay? And I believe it from the depth of my heart. That's the reason I'm saying it, okay? God really doesn't need you. And God really doesn't need your money. I mean, after all, he created the universe from nothing. And don't you think that he could do it without you? But in his sovereignty, he has chosen to use human instrumentality. And have you ever thought about why he did that? And I believe from the depth of my heart that he is such a gracious, wonderful, heavenly Father that he is saying, now I could do it by myself, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you in on it.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Think about it. God letting me in on what he's doing.
Amen.
By the way, folks, if you don't do it, he'll get somebody else to do it. Amen. And I believe from the depth of my heart, when I give my tithe, that means I am involved in everything that happens here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And by the way, if you're not a tither, quit robbing God and quit robbing yourself. Just do it. Amen. And then I've got my faith promise commitment written down here. This is my 43rd faith promise commitment. 1968, first time in my whole life I heard about faith promise giving. And while a missionary in Japan, I made a commitment to give $5 a week to missions above my tithing offering. This is my 43rd faith promise commitment. Every year for 43 years, I have increased my faith promise giving. I'm increasing it again this year. You say, you're an old man. You don't have to remind me of that. And somebody said, well, there has to be an end to that giving somewhere. And guess what? You're right. When God's resources runs out, it's all over. Amen. But we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of God's resources. You know what that means? We've got 200 missionaries that Lancaster Baptist Church support. And that's the reason you give your faith promise through the church. And that way you are involved in every missionary that's supported by Lancaster Baptist Church. And that means I have 200 people every day that somewhere around the world is preaching the gospel. And they're letting me in on what they're doing. God is letting us in on something good.
Amen.
And when we give and when we pray and when we go, we're obeying the Great Commission. And when we obey the Great Commission, it brings great joy. Great joy to the recipients. Great joy to heaven. You think about it. You lead somebody to the Lord, and heaven rejoices. Just that thought alone ought to make all of us want to give more and pray more and go more. Then it brings great joy to the participants. There's no joy in all the world like just simply being obedient to God. Thank God. Young lady said to me yesterday, I know God wants me to go to Uganda. Young man said to me today, I know God wants me to go to Nepal. I mean, just over and over. And I tell you what, when they say that, it just thrills my heart because I know that somebody over there is going to get saved.
Amen.
And guess what? They're going to have great joy when they go. Every once in a while I go places and they say, oh, it's too bad. The missionary has to leave America and, you know, they have to do this and they have to do that. And so many places, they just really feel sorry for missionaries. And I always say to people, don't feel sorry for missionaries. Don't give them your sympathy. They don't need it. Give them your money. They need that. Amen. Hey, don't ever feel sorry for anybody going where God wants them
Amen.
To go and doing what God wants them to do. I mean, the greatest joy in all the world is not some geographical location. The greatest joy in all the world is just being in the center of God's will.
Amen.
But it's not only the ones that go that gets to rejoice. Amen. It brings great joy to we who give and pray
Amen.
So they can go. In the Old Testament, there was a great principle, and I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. We'll be closing in just a minute. But here was the principle. You remember when David and his men got back from battle one day and came back to Ziklag, and they found out that the city had been ravished and their children and their wives had been captured? And David and his men, they took off to try to recapture their families and so forth, get back the stuff that was stolen from them. And they got to a brook called Besor, and the Bible says there were certain of the men that were so weak that they could not go over. In other words, they went as far as they could, but they couldn't go any farther. So they left them there. David and his men went on, found their wives, found their children, spoiled the cities, brought everything back, had a great victory. And as they were coming back, some of the men in David's army said, okay, these people that stayed at Besor, we'll give them back their wives and their children, but they won't get any of the spoils. You remember what David said? Whoa, 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 wait a minute. We didn't win this victory. God gave us this victory. Now, there were certain men that could not go over. It didn't say they wouldn't go over. It said they could not go over. And David said to all of them that day, as his part is that goeth to the battle, so is his part that stayeth by the stuff.
Amen. That's good.
And I'll guarantee you at the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be widow women. There'll be boys and girls in high school. There'll be college students that maybe for one reason or another, they could not go to the mission field, but they gave and they prayed, and thank God in heaven, their reward will be just as great as the ones who went. Paul writing a prayer letter back to the church at Philippi, thanking them for their offering. He says this, and listen to it. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now that really puzzles me every time I read that to my mission classes, because I think Paul wasn't very good at debutation. Amen. He only had this one church supporting him. Okay. I wish he'd went to Kansas school to be IMI, okay? He'd have known better how to do debutation, okay? But listen to what he said to the church. He said, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There it is. Paul said, hey, I'm glad you folks sent the money that you did. Not because I desire a gift. That's not the main reason. By the way, these missionaries that are here tonight, they're not just here to get some gifts. They're here to give you an opportunity to get involved in their ministry that God has given them so that we can be a part of what God does there. Look at it again. John chapter 15. If you keep my commandments, the Great Commission is a commandment. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We have a great responsibility. Our Lord has commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. However, let us not just get so involved in obeying the command that we lose the joy. The Lord desires that we have joy. And he desires that we have the kind of joy that he had. Don't ever think of ministry. Don't ever think of ministry. Whether it's a ministry of prayer, whether it's a ministry of soul winning, whether it's a ministry of giving, don't ever think of ministry as something I have to do. But let's look at it from God's standpoint tonight. That's something I get to do. You see, as a Christian, I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to go soul winning. Man, I get to go soul winning. I don't have to tithe. I get to tithe. I don't have to give to missions. I get to give to missions. God is allowing us to be involved in what he's doing. He said to a little widow woman one time, what do you have in your house? I'm going to do a great miracle, but guess what? I'm going to use what you have in your house to perform that great miracle. He said to Moses one day, what do you have in your hand? I'm going to deliver the children of Israel out of that land of Egypt, the bondage they're in. Moses, what do you have in your hand? Just a rod. Wow, that's exactly what I need. What do you have in your hand, son? Just 5 loaves of bread, 2 pieces of fish. Guess what? That's exactly how much I need to feed 5,000 men beside all the women and the children. Members of Lancaster Baptist Church, what do you have? And God is saying, that's exactly what I need to evangelize 6.8 billion people.